Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I cannot contain myself, John. I cannot contain myself. I think I'm getting congested because I'm so excited for what's going to happen in 3 days. 3 days from today. 3 days from today.
3 days from
this
today.
This is the most excited I've been about a Texans game since I can remember.
Really?
This is going to be beyond significant. There's been 2 weeks of buildup for this. While the Texans were on their bye week, the opponent that they're facing on Sunday smacked around the Patriots. They smacked them.
Yep.
They've been the toast of the league. And I feel like people are sleeping on the Texans heading into this game, and the anticipation of this one, I can hardly contain myself.
Who would have thunk it, right?
Who would have thunk it?
The biggest game of the year for the Texans. Now, if you win it, they only get bigger, so we got to be fair about that, because the Patriots game will get bigger if you win this one. But who would have thought, when you're looking at the Texans' schedule before this season, you're like, hey, now, Chiefs, that's going to be big. Well, it was, but the Chiefs aren't quite what we thought they were. You're looking around like, man, that opener against the Saints, that's going to be big. Well, I mean, it was, but it wasn't really significant now. I mean, the Texans are still in absolute control of them, of their destiny here, and a first-round bye. You're looking, okay, Colts. All right, two times against the Colts. Let's see how that goes with Andrew Luck. Well, Andrew Luck left, and now you've got the Colts. Obviously, you lost there, but you got them coming back. All the big potential big games out there, you know, hey, you're going to go see Phillip Rivers in San Diego. That might end up being big. You won that one. Who would have thought the biggest game of the year for the Texans through 11 weeks is this week, the week 11 against the Ravens at Baltimore?
And, I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt on a Monday whenever people are reacting to games, or even on a Sunday night. But if the Texans win this game, the two words Super Bowl are going to be thrown into the mix. And you just factor in the actual on-field product and what we're going to see, Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson, the unique style in which the Ravens play with, Bill O'Brien versus John Harbaugh, implications of a potential bye in the playoffs on the line. I don't think it gets much bigger than this. And here is Deshaun Watson talking about this game, because he's played in some big, 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 big games over the course of his career. Here's Deshaun Watson talking about Sunday's game in Baltimore at noon that you'll hear right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's an AFC game, road game. You know, there's so much football to be out there, and so much to be played, and so much, you know, to continue to, you know, grow on each and every week. But, you know, everyone is big, you know, in this league, regardless who you're playing and where you're playing. But this is definitely a big one, and we just got to go up there and, you know, just block out the noise and play Texans football.
Look, block out the noise, play Texans football. It's more than that. And he knows it. He's doing the right thing. He's the leader in that locker room, and doesn't want to make it too big or too much about himself. But this is about I mentioned this to you yesterday, and you weren't buying in. I think you're buying in more now. This is Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. It's about going to
Who's not buying into that?
No, I'm saying you didn't think it was going to be that much hype. I've already seen a couple of stories today. You thought it was going to be more about Lamar Jackson, and slightly more pub has gone his way. But this is, you know, people talking about the next great rivalry of quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm loving it, because it's the story within the story. But the big story for Texans fans is obviously getting that bye.
It's an extreme cliche to say what Deshaun just said, but I think there's actually an answer to the question he just put out.
He was being a quarterback there.
But he said,
he was just saying what he needed
he
to
said,
say.
We got to play Texans football.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we've heard them say that. We've heard Bill O'Brien say that. And we don't really know what Texans football is. And when we think we know what Texans football is, usually there's something negative that comes with it. Mm-hmm. Or there has been something. There's been a yeah, but. Texans football, to me, I'm going to ask you what it is to you, but to me, it's the guy that we just heard from.
Mm-hmm.
Texans football is Deshaun Watson carrying this team. There's nothing else to it. There's no other method to it. It is number four, taking you home, giving you that hope, and having a chance to win and a chance to thrive late in the game. That's what Texans football is to me when he says that. And it's crazy that in 3 years that he's been here, that there's finally a meaning when someone says we got to play Houston Texans football.
Yes, but there's more. I don't agree.
There's
with,
more. I want to hear it.
I think there is more. Let me ask the loophole, 713-572-4610. Honest question. Just go back and think about how long you've been a fan. Some of us have been fans since the day they opened the gates over there, since the day they became a franchise. All right. How many times have the Houston Texans had a clear identity? How many times in Texans football history have they had an identity? I mean, you could probably say once or twice, you know, when they had Arian – that was their identity.
Kubiak.
And then when they had that wreck, you know, the Wade Phillips defense that just wrecked people, and Romeo carried that through a little bit early on in the O'Brien era. So they've had something of an identity, but I think they have a true identity on both sides of the ball now. And they've never had that. Deshaun Watson is number one. You just touched on it. Number two is you can't run against this team. Stuff the run. I mean, you just can't. And that's going to be a big part. That's going to be a big part of Sunday, because as we well know, I mean, they're going to run the ball. They're going to try to pound the ball with Ingram, Heisman Trophy winning Ingram right there. And then there's the other part of it. And I was glad that Clint Sterner touched on this last night, because it is absolutely true. When we had Stern talk, shout out to all the loopholes and all the listeners that showed up. That was quite a good event. RPO, run pass option. Offensively, it was kind of slow coming, right? They didn't use them as much as we thought they would. They didn't use them at all in some games. But now clearly Bill O'Brien says, this is what we are. You know what's coming, try to stop it. You can't. And so that for the first time in a long time, and the first time ever, they have a true identity on both sides of the ball. That's half the battle, isn't it? I mean, most championship teams, most contending teams, you know what they are. You've never really known what the Texans are. Now you do. It's Deshaun Watson, it's stuffing the run, and it's run pass options on offense.
Could I interest you in a stat?
Please.
Just to put in perspective what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Baltimore running the ball, right?
Yep.
Carlos Hyde, you think he's done a pretty good job for the Texans?
Done a very good job.
He's been an upgrade of Lamar Miller, no disrespect. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
In 9 games this year, Carlos Hyde has 704 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Not too shabby, right?
Right.
He's 10th in the league in rushing.
Not too shabby.
You know who's 11th?
Who?
Lamar Jackson with 2 less yards, and he's a quarterback. So we're sitting here praising the Texans running back, and we're talking about how great he's been, and he's been good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to minimize what he's doing. This is just more about Lamar Jackson. He has 2 more yards than the quarterback that you'll be facing.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And oh, by the way, they have Mark Ingram, too.
Who's averaging 5 yards a carry for the second time in his career, as we continue to provide you with stats 3 yeah. days away from Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. That's mm-hmm. absolutely crazy. OG, I know that we'll get into the first time that Watson faced Lamar Jackson, but before we do that,
mm-hmm.
I understand you were at the doctor's office today.
Yeah, I've got a great doctor. Shout out to Dr. Moss up in Willspire. No, she's great. She's really, really great.
Really?
Really great. But anyway... so I'm sitting, because they always get me in and out real quick. I mean, because they know I have to be here.
But you try to stay long.
Oh, boy, do I. I try, I'm the first one there early. They open the doors, they let me in, so they're really good. But there was somebody else in the waiting room today. And you know who it was? It was fake business deal loud talking on my phone guy.
Oh God.
Usually you see him on the airport, in the airport.
Oh God.
Right? The guy
and
like,
he looks over and sees if you're listening.
Make sure you're listening. He was sitting back there. Yeah, I'm at the doctor's office right now, but go ahead and I think it was heavy equipment. He goes, "Go ahead and get that tractor number blah 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 to so and so, and don't take less than $400,000." I was like, "Shut the hell up." I mean, I hate loud talking loud talking, bragging guy on the phone in an environment where everybody has to listen to him. You ever been sitting in the airport waiting for your flight to some
guy?
The
worst.
Yeah, I think I'll buy 300 shares of blah, blah, blah. Go ahead and put it on my account. And Yes. Shut the hell up. I hate that dude so much. That might be of like the generic person, not a particular person. I might hate that person more than anybody else. Like the generic person that you just hate.
The version of that in college is the guy who is goes to class and he's talking about how hungover he is mm-hmm. and how much he drank the night before and all that, trying to show off with that. But business guy is just shut
up. He actually said this line.
No, he didn't.
I'm not lying. Hand to God on my children. He literally said at some point when there were two or three other people in the waiting room. Yeah, he laughed. He goes, yeah, I got some problems, but money ain't one.
Oh, my gosh.
He literally, and he, by the way, he looked like, you know, he was wearing, I mean, he didn't look like some dude that was actually, walking the walk. Yeah, I got some problems, but money ain't one.
Oh, my gosh.
Shut the hell up.
Man, those guys are the worst. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the loopholes here on a Thursday. 3 days away from Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson. But there was a time when these guys met on a Saturday in 2016, an October night. It was Jackson versus Watson, Volume 1. We're going to relive that next. Something weird's going on with the newest member of the Texans. Texans rolling the dice on another failed draft pick cornerback. I've done some digging, like I've been known to do, and I got to tell you, OG, something weird is going on around here.
You always find gems.
We'll get to the bottom of it at 10:40. Figgy, something weird's going on, I promise you. 3 days away from Watson versus Jackson, Volume 2. In the spirit of that and in the anticipation of that, let's revisit the first time these two guys met. Because I remember exactly where I was.
Yeah,
I was in Cleveland. I was sitting in my apartment, and I was watching these two guys square off. Mm-hmm. It was October 1st, 2016. It was number 5 Clemson versus number 3 Louisville. It was the primetime game that night. It was on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And like all primetime games, there's the hype. Here is what the hype sounded like. You know how when you come into the game and you got the broadcaster that's hyping up the game, hyping up the matchup? This is what that sounded like.
We have a QB duel in Death Valley. Lamar Jackson, the new sensation in this sport. The sophomore has created 25 total touchdowns in 4 games. But Deshaun Watson is the steely veteran, determined to get his Clemson offense clicking tonight and silence some of the hype surrounding number 3 Louisville. As they come calling against number 5 Clemson, a game with enormous impact on the looming playoff.
There's nothing like that. There's nothing
like
that.
I like when he calls games, man.
The prime time, just the build-up. They're showing the guys warming up. The bands are playing. They pan around the stadium. It's a full house. There's orange in certain places. There's a section of red. It's all hype. And when you got two stars like this, oftentimes it doesn't live up to the hype.
Mm-hmm.
But when Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson met the first time, it definitely lived up to the hype. But it didn't seem like that was going to be the case. Because early on, Deshaun Watson, he was getting the best of LJ.
Watson from the pocket looks down the field to Deion Kane, and he collects it for a Clemson touchdown. Comes in motion again. This time it's Watson in the pocket. Shoots it downfield for Kane again, who makes a diving catch for a touchdown. His second tonight. On first and goal, Watson fires high. Touchdown, Scott. And the Tigers extend the lead with 5 seconds before halftime.
You know how good Deshaun was in that second quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Could I interest you in some stats?
Yes, sir.
11 of 12, 189 yards, 3 touchdowns in the second quarter for Deshaun Watson.
Jeez.
It looked like Clemson was going to smack Louisville straight off the football field. 28-10 Clemson at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
28-10.
Ball game, right?
Ball game. Church. The mm-hmm. end.
Right.
Deshaun Watson, Clemson, sprinting towards a national championship in a rematch against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Not so fast, my friend, to quote the great Lee Corso. And I think this actually would have been the first time they met, if I'm not mistaken. Or actually, this would have been the national title.
Yeah.
28-10 again at halftime for Clemson. However, Louisville, led by Lamar Jackson, scores the next 27 points to start the second half. They outscore Clemson 17-0 in the third quarter. They led 36-28
mm-hmm.
with 7:52 remaining. But you know Deshaun Watson ain't going to take it laying down.
Never.
8-point lead against Deshaun Watson with 7:52 remaining. Get the hell out of here, Louisville.
Watson keeps it, pitches it across the middle. Touchdown, Williams! They're in Hugel's field goal range already.
12 men on the field for
some confusion. The flag comes in, a free play. Watson fires back, catches Leggett open. Leggett rumbling, free dead inside the 10, scores!
So Deshaun adds two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Clemson wins the game 42-36. And we heard the hype leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
It lived up to that hype. Here's how they wrapped it up on national TV.
An ACC showdown, a quarterback duel in Death Valley that lived up to the hype and then some.
Tonight it's Clemson, 42-36, top five matchup. Two teams that did not disappoint.
There's nothing quite like not only a rivalry game, and these teams are rivals. They become rivals, not necessarily like old school, but just because of the ACC. But with the stakes too, you know, you just heard him there. You know, it's one thing for Texas to play Oklahoma when they both have two losses, but when Texas plays Oklahoma and they're both in the top five, that's special. And I'll never forget this game. Yeah, that
you got
was
a time machine for me or something.
Well, circa 2003.
Jeez, might be pre-puberty for me. Good Lord. Final statistics for Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. They combined for over 800 yards of total offense. Lamar Jackson, 295 yards passing, a touchdown and an interception, 166 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Watson, 306 yards passing, five touchdowns, and 14 carries for 91 yards.
That was something.
Not bad.
So that's what we're that's
what we have
us.
To look forward to
that's
in the next 3 days.
For us?
That's what's in store for us. It's not going to be prime time. It's going to be noon, but it's going to be these same two guys who, let's be honest, a lot of people doubted coming into the NFL. They doubted Deshaun
Watson.
Both of them. Deshaun Watson.
More so
in the
Lamar
draft.
Jackson.
Lamar Jackson barely got picked in the first round. He was the last pick in the first round.
Yeah.
And these guys who've shined on the national stage the first time they met, they're going to meet on the biggest stage on Sunday. I can't wait, man.
No,
I really can't wait.
I can't either. And you know, as I mentioned, you've heard a couple of things here. You know, the next great quarterback matchup. Pat Mahomes is going to have something to say with that. Maybe Baker Mayfield have something to say about that. And a couple of others. But these two guys, they have the history. It's not like Bird and Magic, you know.
Yeah,
you know, playing for a national championship. No, it's not like that. You know, playing for a national championship and then carrying it into the NBA.
What if that was our pitch?
What's that?
Bird and Magic, Deshaun and Lamar.
No. Well, let me finish. I'm not saying it's going to get there, but what I'm saying, it's not Bird and Magic and carrying the NBA and rescuing the NBA. You know, becoming, you know, the NBA is today what it is because of those guys. So it's not that, but there are parallels. You know, Bird and Magic didn't face each other but once in college. And everybody thinks it was like this great well, they only faced each other twice, Jackson and Watson. But it was that epic of a meeting, and they were individually that big of stars that everybody was waiting for them to meet. And when they did, it didn't disappoint, just like Bird and Magic. Now, is it going to become, you know, there's not a whole
Don't
lot
do
of
this.
There's not a whole lot of NFL to save. I'm just saying, but you could see where they're going to carry that through for years.
Bird and Magic, a lot of it was that it's the country white guy versus the Hollywood Showtime.
Yes,
type.
But they were clearly the two. Like
no, they were ballers. No. I'm just saying.
No,
it
I'm
adds
saying popularity wise.
But it adds to it when you got the small town white dude versus
French Lick,
the,
Indiana.
Yeah, versus the Showtime Magic Johnson, mm-hmm. Million Dollar Smile, Los Angeles, Boston. It just added to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's to say that these two teams, you know, won't play in three of the next five AFC Championship games? I mean, yeah, that's saying.
Pat Mahomes might have something to say about
again,
that.
I said that from the start. Patrick Mahomes is going to have a lot to say about that. He might play in all five. I mean, you know, who knows? But I'm just saying the parallels are there for these two guys because their age, their history in college, their style of game, and where the league is now.
The game is so much more exciting now. Like, NFL, it's such a more crisp game than college, mm-hmm. and I love college football, but it's just so crisp. But now they're finding ways to put players like Lamar Jackson mm-hmm. and Deshaun Watson, who you used to only see thrive in the college form of America's game, now you're seeing it in the pro form of America's game. And NFL was already king. It's much better because of stuff like
this. And they are changing the game. And not like Bird and Magic. Again, I don't mean to sound too hyperbolic.
How many times are you going to bring up Bird and Magic?
No, I'm saying not like that. But they're changing the game in the way the quarterback position is being played. Both of them.
For the better.
Yeah.
for the better for me. I mean, I very much appreciate this, and I cannot wait to watch this. I know a lot of people wish it were in primetime. I get it, but you got a game on Thursday night, so you can't do that.
Right.
So what you need to do, you just need to get up and just post up at the TV, because regular season games with implications like this, with stars like this, with a certain level of uncertainty too. You know, I mean, we don't really know if Baltimore or the Texans are really contenders. I mean, they could be smacked out of the picture just like that, because that's how the NFL is. What's true today isn't true tomorrow, and then that's why it's a roller coaster ride. That's why we talk about overreaction Mondays.
Right.
But the fact that there is that hope, that promise, and it seems like these guys are here to stay, but there's also that uncertainty, it seems like you're watching the beginning of something special. I know on our end
that's
we
my
are.
Point.
I don't
to
know.
To be honest,
you're watching you the just, beginning of something special.
You just put it succinctly what I've been saying. You know,
is that a first?
You can see something special happening. You could see it then with those two players that I'm not going to mention again, and you can see it now.
You can mention them. Just get it in one more time.
Bird and Magic?
Bird and Magic.
Yeah.
They had some good commercials. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? I'll say this. I know Deshaun Watson's going to be around for a long time, and he's destined. It's just a matter of, you know, we talk about the staying power of Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Is Lamar Jackson just going to be a quick flavor, or is this going to be something going? Because we know we're watching something special with Watson.
I've been guilty of that, too. Like I've said, I don't think he, you know, if he keeps doing what he's doing, it'll be a five-year window for Lamar Jackson. But is he going to keep doing what he's doing? I mean, I know he's changed the way the game. He can maybe get closer to what Deshaun is. And you definitely don't want Deshaun to get closer to what Lamar Jackson is. But it's not like he can't throw the ball. You know, he's throwing the ball. We were watching last night the dime he dropped on Hollywood Brown, you know.
Man, I can't wait for this. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, 3 days away from Texans versus Ravens. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 610 at noon. Pre-game gets started at 9. I am so excited for this. We know those two guys are going to be on the field. But there's a new member of the Texans that they brought in yesterday. We don't know. We'll find out if he's going to be on the field or not. But before we do that, I got to tell you, there's something strange going on with the newest member of the Houston Texans, and we're going to try to get to the bottom of it next.
They fake the toss. McCaffrey, depends where they put it. What a play by Hargraves out on the edge, and he did not get it.
Game-saving play by Vernon Hargraves, 2016 first-round pick. 12 tackles in that game, by the way. Call courtesy of Joe Buck and Fox. Looked like Hargraves was going to have a good year in Tampa this year. It was looked at as a bounce-back year for him. Bruce Arians, the new coach, spoke extremely highly of Hargraves.
Mm-hmm.
Said that he was a big fan of his work. Former Florida cornerback, 11th overall selection in 2016. Looked like he was on his way to doing some big things in that game in which he forced Christian McCaffrey out of bounds on the final offensive play for the Panthers. Also had a pick six the first game of the season. However, yesterday, Hargraves, a 2016 first-round pick, now a member of the Houston Texans. Tampa Bay waives Hargraves earlier this week, and he's now a member of the Houston Texans. The second time the Texans have, quote, rolled the dice on a failed first-round pick at the cornerback position. First, it was Garyon Conley in Oakland, 2017 first-round pick. And now the 11th overall selection in 2016 is a member of your Houston Texans.
This is one of those where, go ahead, roll the dice. Why not? For a number of reasons, okay? You can't have enough cornerbacks. I've always said, you've heard me say it, I think you should draft a cornerback every other year. Regardless, even if you have two starters, every other year draft a quarterback in a premium round is what I'm talking, first, second, third round, just because they're that important to the game. He's a former first-round pick. He's had some issues.
He didn't cost you anything.
All you got to do is pay a salary, right? And if it doesn't work out, you cut him.
Less than $1 million is what it'll cost this year. The reason this move makes sense is because he's going to be on his fifth-year option next year. And I think that the NFL is changing to where – yes, cornerbacks are important, but as soon as you break bread for cornerbacks, it seems like 9 times out of 10, it just doesn't work out. I don't know what it is. Malcolm Butler with the Titans, he's been a disappointment. They just put him on an IR. It doesn't seem like it works out. So if you can roll the dice on these guys who are on one-year prove-it deals, which is essentially what he would be on if they decide to bring him back on that fifth-year option, then you might as well roll the dice and get a look at him, because we know how much the Texans are going to need corners next year.
If you don't like him, cut him.
If you like what you see, you don't even have to pitch him. He's already in your building, and you'll have him on a 1-year prove it deal next year without negotiating, without anything. You got it. It is worth the risk. But
there's some baggage.
But something weird's going on.
Is it baggage or question marks?
I don't know.
I think it's more question
marks.
We'll
let the loopholes decide. 713-572-4610, because something weird is going on with Vernon Hargraves. By the way, Texans are the only team that claimed him, that put a claim in on him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they were down. I mean, they were down in the pecking order. So for those who don't know, you go from last to first in terms of claiming. So the Texans clearly,
they were the only one that put in for Vernon
Hargraves.
And
the NFL knows. It's a giant sewing circle. I mean, it's a big gossip line. So they know what or have heard what some of the question marks are about him. The Texans just shrugged their shoulders and said, sure, we'll try it.
Now, let's get to know Vernon Hargraves and try to get to the bottom of this, because I did some digging. I put in some calls. I went back. I got the sound. Something weird's going on, OG.
Mm-hmm.
Something weird is going on. So Hargraves on Sunday against the Cardinals was benched by Bruce Arians. This is Bruce Arians after the game talking about why he benched the newest member of your Houston Texans.
It looked like you took Vernon Hargraves out of the game there for quite a bit in the second half before he came back in for MJ Stewart. What was the reasoning behind that?
He didn't look like he was hustling to go make that tackle.
Mm. Which tackle was it particular that you were disappointed
with
his hustle?
It's too far back now. He's chasing somebody across the field. He wasn't running fast enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he was benched. Cut a couple days later.
Yeah.
Here's Bruce Arians yesterday talking about Vernon Hargraves. And keep in mind, I don't often see Bruce Arians publicly bashing players.
Never.
You don't see it
He's
very often.
He's a player's coach.
He is the ultimate player's coach. Mm-hmm. This is Bruce Arians yesterday in his media session talking about the newest cornerback for your Houston Texans.
What was the overriding reasons for your waiving of Vernon Hargraves?
The statement said everything.
How difficult was it to make that decision given your injury situation at the cornerback position?
Not hard.
We first met with you, your first day here, you had said something along the lines of, you know, you're going to play hard or you're not going to play here. I mean, for you, is that the ultimate, you know, if anything from your guys, you want them to go all out? I mean, if not hustling,
Yes. You control your attitude and your effort. All right. You don't control a lot of things, but you control those two, and they better be good.
When you talk about accountability, is this an accountability
Yeah, I really want to get into it, but it's a decision Jason and I made.
Is it a matter of something that's happened, just a snap decision, or cumulative when you release a guy in the middle of the season?
No, it's a cumulative thing.
Something's going on, man.
That's a torching. When you consider the context of most NFL head coaches, they might say a thing or two, you know, it didn't fit our system, or we didn't, you know, whatever they're going to say, you know, kind of hinting at what the problems were. Well, most head coaches, that's going to happen. For Bruce Arians, it never happens. So for him to say those things, I mean, that's just an absolute torching of the guy's effort, commitment to the team, all the things that Bill O'Brien always preaches, you know, good teammate, works hard, you know, goes 100%. According to Bruce Arians and all the teams that passed
attitude
on him.
Attitude and effort.
Yeah. He's none of that.
According to Arians.
But you know what?
Still worth it.
I mean, what are you going to pay some money? I don't care. It's not my money.
You're not losing anything. Let's go inside the locker room, though.
Okay.
Let's go inside the Tampa Bay locker room and hear from probably the two most prominent members of that team and just hear what they have to say about their former teammate, now Houston Texan, Vernon Hargraves. Here is Jameis Winston talking about Vernon Hargraves.
Yeah, it was eye-opening. To me, but I know Vern. I know the type of player that he is. I've been playing against him for a long time. I know he's going to bounce back, and he'll be a superstar again.
Okay. Here's Mike Evans. This is
his
best
buddy, man.
This is his best friend on the team, Mike Evans, on the newest Houston Texan, Vernon Hargraves.
I mean, we've seen this throughout the history of the league. I mean, if a team's not happy with you, then they can let you go. If you're not, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, then the team can let you go. I mean, end of story.
They know the, they know what's going on in that locker room, and they know what he did or didn't do, to be more exact. And the, by the way, the, you know, the not hustling on the field is just completely inexcusable. I mean, teams that are tanking have players that hustle because they're trying to, you know, cash a check, and they're trying to either get on with another team the next season, or at least not look bad on film. Remember, Stanford was talking about that yesterday. You got to at least look good on the film.
You got to look good on the film, which is what he did when he was heading into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just try to get a grasp of what kind of player Vernon Hargraves is, the newest Houston Texans cornerback, 2016 first-round pick. What better way to do that than going back to when he was selected number 11 overall and getting the analysis from the great Mike Mayock? Here is what it sounded like when Hargraves was selected in 2016.
With the 11th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select
best corner feet I've seen in the draft, maybe in 2 or 3 years. As far as just quick feet, change of direction, the ability to get from a full speed to chop it down and break on the ball, he's the best I've seen in a couple years. Now, he's only 5'10 and a half, but he's thick. Great feet, change of direction. He finds the football in the air. However, if I had one knock, it's when he's in off coverage. He's got poor eye discipline.
Mm. When he's in off coverage.
What do the Texans play?
Off coverage, John. When he's in off coverage, huh?
I don't mind it. I don't know if Bill O'Brien's head is going to explode. Because of all the things that Bill O'Brien covets, I mean, just absolutely cherishes, Hargraves seems to have none of them, you know. And this is according to Bruce Arians, who generally players love, and generally he gives players the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he's working with Jameis Winston, who's had some issues, and all these other players that are, you know, that over the years that have had some issues. You know, wasn't it Arians that drafted Tyrann Mathieu?
Yep.
You know? And so he
loves him.
Loves him.
Loves him. They were talking about him going to Tampa Bay.
Right. And so Arians is the kind of guy that takes players like this usually and gets the most out of him, and he couldn't do anything with him.
No, he's a very patient guy.
Yeah.
Very patient guy. You know what nobody's talking about?
What's that?
When it comes to Vernon Hargraves? Maybe the Texans like players from the state of Florida that have been in public marijuana controversies, because we know about the gas mask with Laremy Tunsil. I'm joking, obviously. But Vernon Hargraves, there was a time a couple years ago where on Snapchat, he appeared to be smoking a little bit of a Bleezy.
Oh, yeah?
On his story, yeah. I'm kidding,
On his gram?
I don't know if it was the gram or Snapchat, but just Google Hargraves weed and you'll see it.
There's another a bigger issue here for Texans fan. Not issue, point, because I think it could be a good point for Texans fans. Did you know the current let me do a little test. How many former first-round picks currently are on the Texans roster? First-round picks.
25-30.
25 first-round, former first-round picks on the Texans roster?
I mean, there's like four corners.
There's 11. Which is a big number. 11 first-round picks.
I don't know why I'm saying 25.
Is a huge number. A lot of them
five of them are corners.
Yeah, and a lot of them are reclamation projects. A lot of them are top 15 picks.
Conley,
I got it right here.
Roby, J-Jo.
Mm-hmm.
That's four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got a lot.
All right, here you go. You want them all?
Give them to me.
Here's where the point that I'm trying to make is. A lot of them are reclamation projects or... And you got relatively cheap. Barcavius Mingo, sixth overall. All right. Whitney Mercilus, drafted here. Garyon Conley, 24th overall. Bradley Roby, 31st overall. Laremy Tunsil, 13th overall. Titus Howard, drafted here. Vernon Hargraves, 11th overall. And then Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Jonathan Joseph, and Will Fuller.
Is that more than 11?
That's 11 that I counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You don't have to do this on the air.
Yeah.
You don't have to
count. That's 11. Wow. 11 first-round picks. Isn't that something?
I mean, this is worth the risk. You get a look at him. He's on his fifth-year option. Prove it deal. Then you got Gary and Conley. You don't have to worry about corners. We know they don't have to worry about offensive line. Corners, if you can minimize the concerns heading into the offseason, it's worth it. And let's be honest, if you can revive this guy's career, then it's really, really worth it. And this is something else that I think we need to keep in mind when we talk about this guy not panning out in Tampa Bay, because we talk about this a lot. We actually talked about this with Deontay Foreman, and we've talked about this with other guys. A lot of times, it's not in your best interest to reach your full potential as a professional to be drafted by your hometown team. Yeah. And this kid is from Florida. He played his college ball at Florida, and he got drafted by the Tampa Bay Bucks. So maybe getting out of his home state and getting out of his home area, getting away from, I don't think he's a knucklehead or anything, but it's distracting. Mm-hmm. It can be distracting. Maybe this is a good thing for him.
Well, and here's the other point on what I just mentioned on the 11 first round draft picks. Six of them were acquired this year. Six first round draft picks acquired by the Texans this year, which means foremost, Bill O'Brien ain't messing around. I mean, we've said, you know, he's in win now mode, which thank goodness for that. He might be, you know, he might have some work to do in terms of reclaiming these guys, their reclamation projects. And I think talent is not an issue on these points.
I also like that you could say that guys, more times than not, if a guy's a failed first round pick, there are problems with him. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes a strong culture to be able to bring those guys in and try to revive them. It takes stability. It takes confidence in the culture that you have. And it takes confidence in your coaching staff to say, you know what? They couldn't get it done there. We're going to bring him here and see what we got.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done. I mean, that's exactly what the Texans have done. Duke Johnson was demanding a trade in Cleveland. Trade. Boom.
Yeah.
Gary and Conley. We saw what happened in Oakland. Trade. Boom. Hargraves. Bruce Arians is calling him out, benching him. Nobody else wants him. Boom. They're willing to roll the dice now.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't the same old Texans. It's not the same old Texans.
I mean, Trump, talent trumps everything. Talent trumps everything.
About to get political. I was like, where are we going here, bro?
No. Talent trumps everything, okay? And so if you can get, and I think Deshaun Watson has a big role here. If Bill O'Brien clearly is going to have to make this work, right, to get these players that were on the scrap heap, some of them, or very ineffective at their previous destination, Bill O'Brien is going to have to make it work. I think he's also relying on Deshaun Watson being that leader, that guy that guys that just, you know, guys just gravitate to, that kind of connects with them and makes them, you know, get back to what made them a first-round pick.
To put a bow on it, Vernon Hargraves, I'll give you the positive and the negative about Vernon Hargraves. This is why he was cut, just based on the research I've done. He was not making plays the last seven games of the year. The most recent seven games where he got benched, he was not making plays. No forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries, no interceptions, just two pass breakups and very poor tackling. However, at the beginning of the season, he had a pick six in the season opener, and he had a 12-tackle performance, including the tackle that wrapped up the game for the Tampa Bay Bucs against the Panthers with Christian McCaffrey. We'll see what happens with this kid, but it's worth a roll of the dice because it doesn't really cost you anything except money. And if you like what you see from this kid the final seven games of the season, he's got that fifth-year option. You pick that up, and you got another cornerback on a one-year prove-it deal like they did with Bradley Roby this year. That's the positive. It's worth the roll of the dice. We'll see how it pans out. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Sports Radio 610. There's supposed to be a workout on Saturday. I don't know if you've turned on the TV or not, but there's supposed to be a workout on Saturday, and it has a lot of people asking a lot of questions. Kenny Stills and Bill O'Brien address this alleged workout. We'll hear from him next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.